On the river. It was almost completely dark when they found somewhere to moor, a place where the bank didn't rise too steeply from the river and where the trees didn't look so much like an army ranged on the bank. Leela steered the raft towards land and Fred jumped ashore. "I'll check there aren't any caiman marks," he said. "I'll come too," said Con. "No," said Max. He gripped her ankle. "Stay with me." Con flushed and swallowed a smile. She stayed. Fred walked through patches of trees, his heart beating in his ears, swinging a stick ahead of him through ferns, sniffing for the smell of anything recently killed. But it smelled only of growing things, and of resin and birds. "It's fine," he called. "It's safe." His voice twisted, echoing through the trees to reach the others, and they shouted instructions back to him and to each other, and pushed the raft ashore. It didn't occur to anybody not to trust one another now, he thought. They had become a pack. Or an expedition, he corrected himself. That was what you called a group of explorers. They slept that night on the forest floor, their backs touching. Though the day had been heavy with sun, the night was cloudless and cold, and Fred slept with his knees tucked up into his shirt. He found it was unexpectedly reassuring now to feel Max's foot near his nose where he turned in the night. When the nightmares came, it was good to be able to hear the others breathing. They travelled on for another day and another night, the river carrying them at its own pace on its silver back. None of them spoke much. They watched the sides of the banks, waiting, alert, tense. On the morning of the third day, they had barely cast off when it started to rain. Max was sitting, staring out at the splashes rebounding on the river, when he let out a scream. "Sharks, Leela! Sharks!" "Where?" Leela grabbed Max's wrist. "Hold on to me," she said. "Don't move." Fred looked around. There was only the expanse of water and the thrum of falling rain. "There were no sharks in the Amazon, Max," he said. "You don't have to worry." But even as the words were leaving his mouth, he saw that Max had seen a fin rising up out of the water. Con screamed. Leela let out a hiss. Fred froze. He said, speaking through rigid jaws, "Max, come away from the side of the raft." Then the fin dipped, disappeared, and out from the water leapt an arc of pinkish-grey body, curving against the rain and the thunder-coloured sun. "It's a dolphin," said Leela. Her pale face was transformed. Fred rubbed his eyes and looked again, but he hadn't imagined it. The dolphin was pink. The arc of pink was followed by another, dipping so that half of the curve of its back rose out of the water, and another, and then a puff of water from a dolphin's blowhole. They were coming closer. "Shall we jump in?" asked Fred. "Would they let us swim with them?" "Don't," said Con. "There might be piranha." The pod of dolphins circled the raft at a distance. There were five of them, Fred thought, or possibly six. One leapt up, clean out of the water, only 6 feet away. Max clapped and squealed. "Shh," said Leela. "We have to be quiet, Maxie. They're deciding if they trust us." It did seem this was what the dolphins were doing. There was something speculative in the way they swam closer, doubled back and away, and closer again. Then, without warning, the pod turned and began to swim away. The rain grew thicker. Fred's heart lurched. He couldn't bear to see them go. He pulled off his shoes, stood up and dived in, striking hard for the disappearing dolphins. As he neared them, four of the dolphins sped up and ducked deeper into the water. But one turned. Fred trod water. He held out his hand. He tried to stay as still as he could. The dolphin swam up to him, a shape approaching under the surface. He gasped and spat out water. It was rose-grey and covered in deep scars along its back. Its snout was lined with fierce-looking teeth, but its eyes were steady and soft. Fred tried to steady his breathing. It was the most astonishing thing he'd ever seen. It was like a battered river god, and he held out his hand again. "Hello, I'm Fred." The dolphin dipped its nose into Fred's hand. He gasped at the surprising roughness of its skin. It butted its hand, then huffed as if disappointed and ducked down deep under the surface. Fred watched, expecting its shadow to disappear. But as he turned back to the raft, the dolphin erupted from the water in front of him. It leapt clean over his head, showering him with spray, dipped down again and disappeared. The others were shouting and beckoning from the raft. They hauled him up, all three trying to grab him at once. Fred couldn't speak, or he didn't want to. He wanted the memory to be sharp, carbon copied onto his heart. He imagined his father's face when he told him. His heart sang and thrummed in his chest, but the others were boiling over with questions and ideas. "It was like they trusted you," said Con. "Or maybe I thought it was going to feed it," said Leela. "Maybe someone was feeding them those sardines," said Fred. Later that day, just as Fred's head was beginning to swim with hunger, Leela spotted a fig tree on the shore. Fred climbed up and shook the fruit down onto the raft. They tied the sleeves and neck of his cricket jumper and made it into a sack. Max counted as he put them in. 112 tea, he said, triumphant. Behind him, Leela mouthed, 53. "I always hated figs at school," said Con. "I thought they tasted like eating someone else's snot, but actually, they're the best thing in the world." Max fished a handful of figs out of the sack and pushed them into his pocket. "These ones are mine. I don't like sharing," he said, haughtily. Leela fed one of the figs to Bacca, who ate it hungrily, and half an hour later pooed lavishly over her lap. She laughed and washed her skirt at the edge of the raft. "Sloths only go to the bathroom about once a week," she said, "so at least it's done for a few days." Bacca looked thin and even more wide-eyed than usual. "They poo half their body weight each time," she said. "That sounds stressful," said Con. The surface of the raft was constantly being washed with river water, so Leela draped her clean skirt over her shoulders to dry, travelling down the river like a floating scarecrow. Fred's shoes and shorts were sodden wet, but his shirt remained bow dry. The sun was hotter than 2 days put together. Con's cheeks and forehead grew bright pink with sunburn. Leela made her cold compress out of weeds and plaited leaves, which leaked green water down over her eyebrows, but eased some of the burning. That night, as they lay on a bed of fallen leaves, Bacca moved across Leela's shoulder, sniffed at her neck, and climbed up Fred's calf. Sloths were nocturnal, and Bacca seemed unusually sprightly by sloth standards. He fastened his arms and legs around Fred's knee and began to chew at his shorts. Fred lay still, trying not to move his leg as he looked up at the stars. They broke out in spirals and galloping animals and clustered like hordes of white butterflies ranging across the night. Leela was watching too. "Fred," she whispered, "are you awake?" "Yeah," he whispered back. "The moon's so close." She sounded half asleep. "You could wear it as a hat." Fred nodded in the darkness, but didn't speak. "At home, you only ever get small squares of sky, however much you can fit between buildings and church spires." "Yeah," whispered Fred. "I've never seen anything like this." Leela's voice grew even quieter. "Fred, are we going to be okay?" He kept staring up at the sky. "I don't know." Con stirred and turned to look at them. "Are you scared?" she whispered. "Yeah," said Fred. He'd never been so frightened in his life, but they were alive. He held that thought in his hand tight against his skin. "Me too," Leela said. "Don't tell Max." "Me too," whispered Con. She gave a grunt of disgust. "But that's obvious. I can't work out how to hide it like you do." They lay breathing close to one another. "When this is over, let's all swear to meet somewhere." "Where?" asked Con. "Where's the most famous place to eat in London?" "The Ritz," said Fred. "Then we'll meet there," said Leela, "and we'll have one of every single kind of cake, and this will be like a dream." "And hot chocolate," murmured Max. He sounded 3/4 asleep. "Max," said Leela, twisting to touch his forehead, "go back to sleep." Fred stole a look at the other three. Con had closed her eyes. Her brow was furrowed, but her lips had half a smile at the tips. On the fourth day, the river began to change. The trees arched densely overhead, and the water was choked with weeds. It no longer smelt fresh. Fish flitted through the reeds. "Are they piranhas?" said Con. "I mean, piranha." Leela peered down over the edge of the raft and nodded, her jaw set. She stroked Bacca hanging round her neck and buried her chin in his fur. Her breath, as she exhaled, was shaky. It was mid-morning, but it grew dark as the branches thickened over above them. "Is it just me, or does the river feel suddenly less on our side?" asked Con. "It's not just you," said Fred shortly. His upper lip and forehead were dripping with sweat. Sweat wasn't only from the work of poling. But he had Con's bark map in his pocket, and he thought of it warmed his chest, beating back against the cold doubt in his stomach. The current was in their favour, but travelling through the weeds was arm-aching, back-stretching, skin-shredding work. "Watch out!" called Leela. Fred flinched, looking round for something about to hit him in the face, then watched in silence as a snake slipped along a branch, spiralled up the trunk of a tree, and disappeared into the green over their heads. Even Max didn't move. "It's almost certainly not deadly," said Fred. He winced. He'd intended it to sound reassuring, but instead his voice landed somewhere between desperate lying and stern aunt on a deathbed. He concentrated on doubling his speed until they were past the weeds, and they sped down the dark green passageway of overhanging trees. "We're close," said Fred. "On the map, this river goes on until it meets a lake. I think it would be there 3-4 hours, but it's hard to tell. And then there's a black square, and then a short line. That might be a path or a river. Could just be a squiggle, and then the X." Con reached into the water for a flashy stick as it floated by and began to paddle. "The sooner we get there, the sooner we'll know the worst." The raft followed the river, Fred's pole splashing in his impatience to see what was around the next corner. He guided the raft around a floating, fallen tree, traversed another 5 minutes of dark water, and found, without warning, they'd come to a mouth of a small lake. The lake was an exquisite blue, shining under a cloudless sky, but Fred did not notice. They all four sat crouched on the raft, looking up, their jaws open, and their eyes wide. There was a long silence. Then Leela spoke. "Did I ever mention I'm terrified of heights?"